asked last week, did anybody not stay up till midnight? As you see, my hand is up as well. See, I was in bed by 11:30, and I think that's the right way. I know Pastor Dave, they had an all-nighter, not during New Year's Eve, but I think they're wrong. I'm sorry, all-nighters. Like, who stays up all night? Damien, I'm sorry, but it just doesn't make sense to me. But anyways, I'm glad you're here today, and I'm glad there is no snow. There is supposed to be snow, but praise God there's not. We started a series last week, and we're starting a series called Joy in the Journey. We're looking at the book of Philippians and looking at how do we actually get joy in this journey of life. And, you know, I thought about joy, and I looked up the definition of joy in the dictionary, and this is what it says. Joy is the emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. You think people want that? Do you think people want joy? Yeah, okay. They kind of want that. And so they kind of focus on happiness there, don't they? And, you know, I was looking on the internet this last week, and I found out that there is a lot of places that you can find on the internet how to be a happy person. Woohoo! And you know what? There actually was a day back in 2012, March 20th, 2012, that was, and I don't know if you know this, the United Nations called it the National Day of Happiness. Does everybody remember that day? It was a happy day. It was a good day. I have no idea what happened March 12th, 2012. But anyways, the main purpose of that day was to promote happiness as a universal goal and aspiration in the lives of human beings around the world. I wonder how they did with that. I'm thinking they may have fallen a wee bit short. But see, here's the thing. People will go at extreme lengths to find happiness, won't they? So they'll buy big gifts for their kids during the Christmas season to somehow hope that that will give them happiness. Okay, have you seen the video? If you haven't, you got to watch it on YouTube about this girl named Mackenzie. Not our Mackenzie, okay? But a girl named Mackenzie whose dad bought her a brand new sports car. Did anybody see that video? A red sports car. Oh, you've got to see it. You're going to, don't do it now. But after this afternoon, go home and YouTube, spoiled girl gets red sports car, okay? So she gets this brand new red sports car. I'm thinking if I got a brand new red sports car from my dad for Christmas or from my birthday, I'd be happy. Anybody with me? Hello? Yeah? Amen? Right? So, but it wasn't blue. I know, it wasn't blue, so you gotta watch it because she has a meltdown because her dad bought her a red sports car and not a blue one. How sad. See, we try our very best to make people happy. We try our best, ladies, you try your best to make your husband happy. So you prepare this great meal. It's his favorite meal. It's rouladen with the little spätzle on the side. And the gravy, and a little bit of Brussels sprouts on the side as well. Oh, can you just taste it? So you make this great meal, and you put two candles on the table, and you put a glass of your favorite grape juice on the table as well, and you got it all set up, and he comes home from work, and you're all excited. You're wearing a very pretty dress, green, because that's his favorite color, and you come home, and he comes home, and you're standing by the table, and he says, "Hi, dear, thank you," and he grabs the plate, and he goes and sits and watches the football game. Now, that's never happened in my house, okay? Just saying, never. But happiness is fickle. It comes and goes, doesn't it? It depends on the circumstance. If the circumstances are good, you're happy. If the circumstances are not so good, you're not happy. You know, I really like the definition of joy. See, joy is not happiness. It goes beyond that. And I love what Rick Warren says about joy, how he defines joy. Joy is a settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. That's good. That's good. And that's what joy is all about. But see, here's the thing. Now, I want that kind of joy. I'm hoping you do, right? Anybody with me want that kind of? I'm hoping that we want that kind of joy. But it's going to take some work to ignite that joy in our lives. So we want to look at the book of Philippians. We want to take a look at Philippians chapter 1. Chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 3 to 11. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 to 11. How about we stand for the reading of God's word here this morning? Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. And I'm reading in the NIV. It says this: I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that it is so relevant to us, even here today. Thank you, God, that you have given us a way that we can experience true lasting joy, something we can experience on a daily basis, not depending on circumstances, but depending on you and on your word. So, Lord, as we look into the scripture here today, would you guide our discussion? Would you guide our thoughts? Help us, Lord, not to become sidetracked. Help us not to become distracted, but allow you to speak to us through this word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So a few things that you got to do to ignite that joy in your life. First of all, you got to think differently. You got to think differently. And part of that is you got to think others. You got to think about others, which is really, quite honestly, contrary to the way we're brought up, right? Because it's all about you. It's all about me, right? So you, it's all about what we can get from a little kid on. So you have these little kids that are so cute, and they want to have, as a baby, you're giving everything to them. You're as soon as they, then immediately you put a bottle in their mouth, right? And anything, any squawk, you are there for them. And sometimes we don't get out of that. Sometimes we constantly want it to be about us. But this is what Paul says here. I thank God every time I remember you. I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy. Now, I want you to remember something. Paul is sitting in a Roman prison. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been in a prison. I have, to visit, okay? Let's just make it clear. I've been in a few prisons to visit, and that's not a place of great joy, okay? I mean, our prison system is a little bit different, as we talked about last week, than the prison system back then, granted, but it's not a place of great joy. You don't want to be doing time in a prison, and he's doing time for something he didn't even do. He's sitting in a Roman prison, and if there is a place that you should be going, woe is me, it's sitting in a Roman prison. Like, it's not my fault. Why am I here? But as he's sitting there, he's thinking. And as he's thinking about this church in Philippi, and he's thinking about all of his experiences. He's thinking about that girl we talked about last week, this slave girl that was demon-possessed, that came out and was following him around and screaming at him, and he was thinking how she was delivered and how she was a new person. He was thinking about his time in prison there at that time, where the jailer and his entire family got to know the Lord. He was thinking about all of this, and it brought him great joy. It brought him great joy. See, here's why. Because he was getting his attention off of himself and getting it onto others. Are you with me? See, because here's the thing. When we begin to focus so much on ourselves and our situations and what we don't have and our failures, because you've got one or two, I have failures. I know it's hard to believe, but I do have them. But when we start focusing on that stuff, you're going to get depressed. Are you following me? When we focus on what we don't have and we focus on our failures and all the yuck around us, we get depressed. And God is calling us to think differently, to think beyond ourselves and to think of others. So how can you do that? Well, here's how you can do that. Begin to look for opportunities to sow into the life of someone else. So here's the thing. If you want help with that, we can help you. We can help you here at Spa Church. We are so blessed that we are able to sponsor 3 refugee families. It used to be 2, now it's 3. Hallelujah. Susan, where are you? Isn't that great? God has given us that opportunity to work and to encourage. Maybe you can be part of something like that. Gail, where are you, Gail? Dare to Care, there she is. I'm thinking you probably would love for people to come out and help with Dare to Care. Dare to Care is our ministry here in the church where you dare to care, where you come out on a Monday night. And they come out, they pray for people, they write notes to people, they make phone calls. They just love on people. We have Leonard, his dad just passed away, and he's going to be heading back to the Philippines. Dare to Care is there for situations like that. By the way, we need to pray for Leonard as he travels this week to the Philippines. But see, this is where we get our attention off of ourselves and saying, God, how can you use me to care for someone else? Because that's where joy is ignited. When you begin to look beyond yourself and you begin to look to others. So think others. Secondly, think fellowship. This is what it says in verse 5. Because of your partnership. By the way, isn't that interesting? Can I just digress for a second? You'll be okay with that, right? Think of your partnership. See, we changed our name from membership to partnership. Because we want us to understand we're working together for what? It says here, in the gospel. We're working together to bring that good news of Jesus to a lost world. We work as a family. I can't do your job. Trish, I don't even want your job. And I couldn't go and work with the people you work with. And that's good, because you don't want me there. But God wants you there. So we partner together to bring that message. Think fellowship. It says here, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. What do you think about when you hear the word fellowship? Somebody said people. That's good. I'm hoping we're thinking people. Okay, I got to tell you, this is how spiritual I am. When the first thing I thought about when I thought fellowship, I thought of Lord of the Rings. Okay, I'm sorry. I mean, for those that are, do we have any Ring fans in the, yeah, we've got a few of them. Yeah, I see those hands. Hallelujah. Yeah, I thought Fellowship of the Ring, right? The movie Fellowship of the Ring. I know, it's not spiritual, I understand, but that's where my mind went. But see, think that the word fellowship is to have something in common, to have something in common with other people. And see, God is not calling us to walk up to this, to Mount Mortar and bring a ring and drop it into a volcano, but he's calling us to work together, to have something in common with people around us and to do that task together. Now I want you to take a quick look. Look around you. You see these people around you? Gorgeous looking people. You know, you have something in common with every one of them. At least I hope so, because every one of them here in this room has some relationship with Jesus. And if you don't, I'll help you to get there, okay? But we have something in common. And folks, that should bring us joy, because you're not alone. You're not alone. We work together. We move together. This church can only move forward as we partner together to bring that good news of the gospel of Jesus to a lost world. And we encourage each other in the journey. Because see, here's the thing. No man is an island. You're not going to make it on your own. But the good news is you don't have to. You don't have to. We are here to encourage, to fellowship. Think differently. Think others. Think fellowship. Thirdly, think eternal. Verse 6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ's attention. See, we need to think of it on a higher plane than just the here and now. Because see, here's the thing. I can get very, very depressed if I begin to look at what's going on the here and now, right? But if we can look higher and look beyond, you know, in some ways, Leonard, your dad, I envy him. He loved the Lord. He served the Lord faithfully. Can you imagine what he's experiencing right now? I can't even fathom those that have gone beyond. And see, we don't even like to talk about that stuff. We'll talk about it at a funeral and all solemnness and all that stuff. But that's something, not talking about death, but eternity. It's something that should be on the very cusp of our mind at all times. Folks, he who began a good work in you, who began it, is gonna see it through. I love the way one commentary said it. The good work is all about what God does for us. That's salvation. What God does in us, sanctification. The word sanctification means a process of becoming more and more like Jesus. Help me, God, to forget the bad stuff to leave sin and to become more and more like you. That's sanctification. The work God does through us, that's service. See, folks, if you allow God to do this work, man, that'll ignite joy in you. Amen? It will ignite joy in you, but we've got to think differently. We've got, and you know, see, the thing is, when we begin to think differently and think more eternal, it makes a big impact in our relationships as well. I heard about a lady that went to see a counselor about her marriage. And she said that, you know, the problem is there's always friction in our relationship. And the counselor looked at her and he said, and he had two pieces of wood. I did that just in case anybody's sleeping. Actually, you know what's really funny? I really digress here. Before the service, I went into the middle of the audience, or the foyer, and I did that, and you hear the we got to work on that, Ryan. We really have to work on it. Anyways, he picked up, oh boy, do I digress. He picked up two pieces of wood like this. And he says, you know, friction happens because of two reasons. First reason is if one piece of wood is moving and the other one isn't, there's friction. Friction also happens when the two pieces of wood are moving in opposite directions. There's friction. And then he asked her this. He says, which is it? Which is it? Is it because someone's moving in your relationship and someone is holding still? Or is it because you're moving in opposite directions? And I want you to think about your relationships that you are having challenges in. Is it because one person is moving in a certain direction and maybe you're not? Maybe you're just saying, man, I don't want to go there. Forget it. That's going to cause friction. Or is it because you're moving in opposite directions? Because as soon as you start moving in an opposite direction with your spouse or with someone you have a relationship with, it's going to cause friction in families and kids with parents with kids, all that stuff. We've got to be moving together. Are you following me? We've got to be moving. And see, here's the thing. When we think eternal, when that is our number one focus, folks, and we're looking to heaven and to our ultimate goal, we're moving together. And see, that's what we got to be doing as a church, moving together in the same direction. Everything else, folks, yes, there's merits in some of the other stuff that we do, but if it's not focusing on eternal, we got a problem. We got friction. So we got to think differently. We got to, secondly, folks, we got to get beyond just thinking, but we've got to love honestly. Love honestly. It says here in verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart, For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. Don't you love that? I have you in my heart. See, it's possible to think of someone, okay, and have them on your mind. It's possible, actually, to think of someone and have them on your nerves. Now, there's nobody here that has somebody on their nerves, right? That gets on your nerves. We don't have that. If you do have that, we'll have to have a chit chat, okay? But this, what it's talking about is having someone on your heart. There's a big difference. It's having that true, genuine love for someone. I'm reading a book right now by Francis Chan called Multiply. Great book to read. And he says in his book, he says, there is a sure way to find out if you are alive or dead. Everybody's going to their nerve and going, no, I feel a heartbeat. I'm not talking about that. A sure way to find out if you are alive or if you are dead. And that is this, simply this. Do you love? Do you truly, truly love? See, if you can't love, you're dead. No, you can take my word for it, and that's okay. But let me tell you how we know this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 says this. Underline this in your Bible. 1 John comes before 2 John, okay? 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 says this. We know that we have passed from death to life because what? We love our brothers or our sisters. Anyone who does not love remains in what? Remains in what? Anyone who does not love remains in death. Actually, he takes it one step further and says, if you can't stand someone and you actually hate someone, you should be in jail. Okay? You don't believe me? Well, let's go to the next verse then. Can you fire up that next verse? Verse 15. Anyone who hates his brother or sister is a what? A murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. That's deep. That's deep, folks. And so here's the thing. We've got to look at our lives and say, God, are there people we're having a really, really hard time with? Because if we hate, God says, hang on, I am not letting no murderer in heaven. You following me? If we hate, we got to make it right. We got to make it right like now and ask God for our help. Folks, we need to love, truly love honestly. So what does that look like? What does it mean to really love someone honestly? Okay, let's go back to 1 John and go to verse 18, same chapter, 1 John chapter 3 says this. Dear children, let us not love with word or tongue, but in action and in truth. So how do we love in action and in truth, not just word or tongue? See, I can go up to you, Harry, and I can say, Harry, I love you. And my actions can be completely different. By the way, I do love you, Harry. You're awesome, right? But my actions could be completely different. So here's a couple questions you need to ask yourself when it comes to truly loving with action and truth. What am I willing to give? What am I willing to give in this love for someone else? See, I'm not just talking about your coin. I'm not talking about just physical stuff, but maybe giving your time. Maybe giving your attention. Maybe giving something that's hard to give. What are you willing to give to show that you actually love that person? What are you, see, here's the thing, folks. Can I just stay there for a second? We do this offering thing on a Sunday, not because you want to pay my salary. Thank you for doing that, by the way. I appreciate that. And the staff, we appreciate that. But that's not what it's about. It's so much more than paying for the lights and the heat in this building. It's about you being willing to give so that we can do Dare to Care, so that we can be involved in helping out with these refugees, so that during the Christmas season that we were able to bless a number of families inside the church as well as outside the church. We give so that we can, we give here as a church so that we can be involved in ministry, so we can sow into the lives of people around us. I'm excited for this year, see, because there's a few things we want to do this year that are going to be a little bit different. We want to be involved with Vasaki this year as a church. And that means we want to be involved with that, with the celebration, with the Sikhs that are doing, by going out there and loving on them and letting them know that God loves them. We can do that. We can do that. We want to be involved in a few different areas. In the fall, we're involved with the Fleetwood Festival, and we are also involved with the Halloween alternative of a few things that we do. But we need you to be part of that. That's why we give. Secondly, what are you willing to give up? See, here's Paul sitting in a Roman prison. He gave up his freedom so that he can bring that message of hope to the church at that time. Now, God's not calling you to sit in a jail cell, praise God, but he may be asking you to give up something, to be willing to sacrifice, and that's between you and God. What are you willing to give up to show love to someone else? And thirdly, what are you willing to forgive? What are you willing to forgive? See, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says this, love keeps no records of wrongs. In my premarital counseling, I often talk about I used to work for a group home. I used to work with mentally challenged people. And my manager in that home, she's not here today, no. My manager in that home, she would keep a book. And in that book, she would write down all of our mistakes. I think I had 3 or 4 volumes, but anyway, that's beside the point. But she would write down all the things that we did wrong, and then she would file it. And then when she wanted to get to us, she would, and I saw her do this in one case particularly, where she pulled out that book and said, on such and such a day you did this, and on such and such a day you did this, and such and she used it as ammunition to say, you got a lot of smartening up to do there, young man. And I thought about it, and I thought, how sad. But how many times do we keep records? We use them in marriage. We use them in family. We use those things. We pull them out of our arsenal, not arsenal, but we pull them out of our little backpack, and we fire them back at our spouse or our family, and we use them against them. Things that may have happened years ago. Listen, what are you willing to forgive? See, because if we aren't willing to forgive, listen, this is what the Word of God says, God will not forgive us. Now, is that ever a scary thought? Matthew 6, don't take my word for it, Matthew 6, 14. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's scares me. So Lord, help us to be forgiving. Pastor Dave was talking when he did communion, was talking from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where it says, if you have aught against someone, if you have something against someone, make it right. Make it right. You don't want this hanging over your head, let me tell you. So loving genuinely, folks, is being willing to forgive. Listen, I want joy ignited. You gotta love. In order to have that ignited. Lastly, we have to love honestly, and lastly, we have to pray intentionally. There's something really awesome that happens when you pray for someone. Really, really awesome. Now, just a few minutes ago, remember I said to you, there might be people that you just can't stand. Can I tell you how you make it better? If there's someone that you have a real hard time with, you know how you make that better? Pray blessing. Pray blessing on them. Now that's going to take everything out of you to do that. Lord, I pray you would bless so-and-so who has smucked up my car, who has burnt down my house, who has kicked the dog, and whatever it is, okay? Pray blessing. That may not change them, but it'll change your opinion of them. Are you following me? Pray blessing on those people that drive you absolutely nuts. I was talking to my father-in-law. He's been a missionary in Brazil for quite a number of years. And he said he had people in his church at that time that were difficult, to say the least. People that always came and gave him a very difficult time, who caused many, many problems. And what he did, he went to Scripture, and he went to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Underline this, especially when you got people that are causing you grief. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says this: "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." And he said this, he says, "I began to pray, Lord, all those arguments that are set up against myself and against you, everything that causes evil thoughts, I pray against that in Jesus' name, and I pray that it would be obedient, those thoughts would be obedient unto you, the thoughts that I have and the thoughts that they have against me." And he began to pray this scripture over and over and over and over again. He says it wasn't long that not only did these people change, but the ones that were the biggest troublemakers left the church. There's power in Scripture, folks. There's power in this book. Don't ever take it for granted to pray the Scriptures. Now, I'm not talking about jumping to 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 10. That's not a Scripture you should be praying when you got a problem with someone. You want me to read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10? It says, "May fire come down from heaven and consume them." No, you don't. No, no amens there. It means we jump back to Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus." I wonder what would happen if we prayed this for people. Lord, let their love abound more and more. Lord, let them discern what is best. Lord, let them be pure and blameless. Lord, fill them with the fruit of righteousness. Lord, let their lives be brought up to glory to you and to praise you. If we began to pray, I wonder what would happen if we would actually pray that for ourselves. If we would truly pray it intentionally about this for us. Lord, let my love abound more and more. You know, the picture here, and I love this, as one commentator put it, imagine a river. Can you see it? A river flowing through an area, and all of a sudden there's a flash rain, and there's a heavy rain, and this river starts to swell, and starts to get deeper and stronger. And as it gets deeper and stronger, it begins to go over the banks, and it begins to flood into the fields around. Now, take away the destructive power of that, but just imagine that picture. And imagine, see, that's what it's talking about here when it comes to love. Imagine if your love was more than just a trickle. Imagine all of a sudden there was a swell. Come on, imagine if God just put it in you to love greater, in a greater capacity, and it began to surge, and it began to flow, and it began to flood over. And you begin to spill over all over the people around you and just kind of love on them. Wouldn't that be great? Just kind of like, give them a hug and all that stuff. And people would look at you and go, "I just want to be around that person because there's something about that love that they have for me, and it's real." That's what it's talking about. That's what we need to be praying for. Thank you, dear. That's what we should be praying for. You can join her in saying amen once in a while. That's okay. Lord, help our love to abound more and more and more. It goes on beyond that, more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. So the point here is that we begin to, our love has a quality that has depth. It's not a superficial love, just a kind of, oh, I love you. You know what I'm talking about. Don't you hate that when there's that kind of superficial, oh, how you doing? I'm doing fine. And away you go. And you can't stand that person or they can't stand you. No, a depth, a trueness, a wonderful, wonderful type of love. See, that's what God wants for us, so that you may be able to discern what is best. I really wish we have more discernment. I really wish we could truly discern what is right, what is wrong, what God wants from us, what God wants us to stay away from. I wish we had a little bit more when it comes to that area of discernment. The opposite of discernment, okay, can possibly, I know you're going to find this hard to believe, but can apply to me at times. The opposite is idiotic, unintelligent, and even a little careless. So, I'm building my deck, my second deck in the backyard, and as I'm putting up the joist hangers, I get distracted. First problem, and I get distracted easily. I get distracted, and I miss the nail. Anybody ever done that? And I hit the second nail, and it happened to be this finger, which I won't put up right now because that would be not right in the middle of church. And I hit it with all my might because I'm going to get that nail in, I tell you. And I, you know, has anybody ever done that, hit the wrong nail? You know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I'm talking about. And it immediately turned blue. And I sat down in great agony. And I know some of you may have heard this story, but I sat down and the neighbor sees me sitting there. And he says, "Hey, just lazing around, are you?" And I had something to say. And you know, I went to show my finger, but that would be the wrong finger to show him at the time. A few weeks later, I'm on vacation. By the way, this all happened last summer, okay? This hasn't happened like years ago. I'm on vacation, and I see a wasp. I don't like wasps. I think wasps are evil. They came with the fall of man and all that, and I see them, and I'm going to squish this puppy, right? I've got my sandals on because I can squish them with my sandals on, and I'm not worried about that. So I go to squish him. So I'm standing by the water. I'm standing on some rocks. He's kind of drinking a little bit of water down there. So I go to squish him. I didn't see the one rock sticking out of the ground. And it got me right underneath my big toenail, and it bent the toenail back. Now, I had pictures of this I was going to show you, but I thought maybe I won't do that. Not very discerning. Not very discerning. It's not really what it's talking about, but it makes for a good story. The point is, we have to be listening and watching and hearing from God in all places so that we don't make stupid mistakes, so that we don't go places that God doesn't want us to go. Lord, help us to be more discerning. So that we may be pure and blameless. See, here's the thing. When we're not hearing from God, we can get distracted awfully fast. And we can hurt ourselves or hurt others pretty, pretty quick. See, what God wants from us and what we need to be praying for, folks, is that we be filled with the fruit of righteousness. Last year, we had a bumper crop of grapes. You can fire that next slide up there. We had a bumper crop of grapes, and I tell you, it was a good year. I made a lot of grape juice, just so you're following me here, okay? And I spent a few days making grape juice, beautiful, beautiful grapes. And as I was working on this sermon, I thought about that grapevine, and I thought about how full it was with grapes, and I thought about what it says, that your life would be filled with the fruit of righteousness. Righteousness, the fruit that he's talking about is the fruit of the Spirit in your and my life. Can you imagine if our lives were literally hanging thick with love, with joy, with peace, patience, kindness, with goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, as it talks about in Galatians chapter 5. If our lives were so full of that, that those things would drop from our lives, like all the grapes were falling from my vine. There were so many of them. See, are you praying for that? Because that's where joy comes. When we ask God, fill us with the fruit of righteousness. A couple of years ago, we went to Vancouver, and we watched the fireworks in Vancouver. Anybody see the fireworks at the end of July? They're spectacular. And we sat back and we watched it, the glory, the splendor, the wowness of all of it. And we truly enjoyed ourselves. A while later, we went to Oregon. And we went there on the 4th of July. And we're looking forward to the fireworks on the 4th of July in Oregon. So we sat back, we found a place, and we watched this fireworks. And they all went up into one cloud. And all you saw was a little bit of a splash of light, but you saw nothing more than that, because they all went into one simple place. And here's what I thought about as I was preparing this. See, folks, God wants us to be ignited with joy, not to just go burst off like fireworks, but to bring splendor to the world around us, to show His splendor. But see, this is the problem. If all of our joy is focused in one area, if it's all about what happens here on a Sunday morning, or what happens around your table and your private devotions, it's going to get frustrating for others. And it's going to get frustrating for you. Because like the fireworks in the cloud, there's got to be something there, but I just see a flash in the pan. And God wants you and I to get out. Come on. He wants you and I to get out, to get that joy out, get the joy out of us. Get it in us, first of all. And then we talked about how to do that. But then get it out of us. Go out there and share the love of Christ. Let it ooze out of you. Like fireworks, let it be a wow. We serve a great God. And they should see that in you and I. And that comes, folks. Listen, that comes when we let that. See, Francis Chan, in his book, he said, God has called you to be a lighthouse. He's not called you to be a bomb shelter. And the difference is this. A bomb shelter, we all hunker down, don't we? We're protecting ourselves. We're protecting the little that we got. And nobody's going to take it from us. And God said, no. See, here's the thing. You got to be shining that light. You got to be out there. And that's where joy is ignited. So I want, in closing, I'm going to ask Michelle and the team to come up here. I want you to examine your life. Lord, how's the joy? How's the joy in my life? Where am I at? Am I lacking in some areas? And if the joy isn't there, can I challenge you to look at what we talked about here today? To examine your life and to examine, am I praying effectively? Am I loving properly? Lord, am I allowing that joy to be ignited through your word? Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that your spirit would move upon every single person in this place, and you would help us to examine ourselves. And God, if we have been robbed of joy, if the enemy has robbed us because of some situation, I pray in Jesus' name that you would bring about a focus, a new focus, that we would look beyond this situation. We would see you. We would see your love. We would see your strength. We would see the hope that comes from you. And that we would walk in that strength. Not our own strength, but your strength, Father. And that you would ignite the joy within every single individual here today. That we would shine brightly for you. That, Father God, we would have your joy, not what we can conjure up, but your joy in our lives. So, God, we would make a difference in our families, in our communities, in our church, in our world. So, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, would you just pour your power and your presence on your people and help us to walk in that strength, that freedom, that joy that only comes from you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we stand together?